Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member by Avram Goldar and Dear Mazekhus Yavamas Daf Yadal. The first parak, Chamesh Esrei Nashim. The first parak has been generously sponsored as a schus for Mordechai Chaim ben Esther and as a schus for Shidduch Hagron for Leah Bas Esther. So the few dafs we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara says that Reish Lakish and Rav hold that Beis Shammai did not follow their own opinion regarding being matir the tzaris of an erva to do yibum, and Rav Yochanan and Shmuel hold that they did. The Gemara asks Amos, when did this malchokas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel take place? Ilei makodim baskol. If you say it was before a baskol announced that the halacha always follows Beis Hillel, then what would be the explanation of those who hold that Beis Shammai did not follow their own opinion? And if it was after the baskol, then what would be the reasoning of those who hold that Beis Shammai did not follow Beis Hillel? The Gemara answers that you could say it was before the baskol. According to the ones who say Beis Shammai followed Beis Hillel, it was because Beis Hillel were the majority. According to the ones that Beis Shammai did not follow Beis Hillel, even though Beis Hillel were the majority, it was because Beis Shammai mechadidin tvei. They were sharper. Alternatively, you could say it was after the baskol. According to the ones who hold that Beis Shammai followed Beis Hillel, it was because of the baskol. According to those who say Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, they hold like the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that ein mashkichim baskol. We do not pay attention to a baskol in resolving halachic disputes. Point number two, the Gemara asks, according to those who say that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, Karin Kamu was his go-to-do. Why was there no issue here of what was his go-to-do? Which means, well, sasu agudos agudos, do not make separate factions. Abai answers that we only say what was his go-to-do in a situation of two courts in one city where one court falls Beis Shammai and one court falls Beis Hillel, but two courts in two cities is not a problem. And the opinions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were followed in two cities. Rava asked Abai, v'hab Beis Shammai Beis Hillel kishtei bati dinim bi'ir achas dami. But Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagreeing is like the case of two courts in one city, as members of both of them live in the same city. So Rava answered differently, that lo siskodidu only applies within one court, when some of the judges follow Beis Shammai and some follow Beis Hillel. Avo shtei bati dinim bi'ir achas leislam ba. But in a case where there are two bati dinim in one town, where one follows Beis Shammai and the other follows Beis Hillel, there is no problem of lo siskodidu. And point number three was stated in a braisa, afo bisha nechuku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel b'tzaros. Even though Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagreed about being matir tzaros in the case of Yibum and other halachos, well, nimnu Beis Shammai melisa nashi me Beis Hillel. Well, Beis Hillel me Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai did not refrain from marrying women from Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel did not refrain from marrying women from Beis Shammai. L'lamedcha shechiba v'reos no'ogim zeh l'zeh. To teach you that they treated each other with affection and friendship, to fulfill which is stated, ha'emes v'shalom ehavo. Love, truth, and peace. So once again, the three topics are, number one, the Gemara says that Reish Lakish and Rav hold that Beis Shammai did not follow their own opinion regarding being matir, that tzaros of an erva to do Yibum, and Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel hold they did. The Gemara asks Amos, when did this malchokas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel take place? Ilei makodim baskol, if you say it was before a baskol announced that the halacha always follows Beis Hillel, then what would be the explanation of those who hold that Beis Shammai did not follow their own opinion? And if it was after the baskol, then what would be the reasoning of those who hold that Beis Shammai did not follow Beis Hillel? The Gemara answers that you could say it was before the baskol. According to the ones who say Beis Shammai followed Beis Hillel, it was because Beis Hillel were the majority. According to the ones that Beis Shammai did not follow Beis Hillel, even though Beis Hillel were the majority, it was because Beis Shammai mechadidin tvei. They were sharper. Alternatively, you could say it was after the baskol. According to the ones who hold that Beis Shammai followed Beis Hillel, it was because of the baskol. According to those who say Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, they hold like the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that ein mashkichim baskol. We do not pay attention to a baskol in resolving halachic disputes. Point number two, the Gemara asks, according to those who say that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, Karin Kamu was his go-to-do. Why was there no issue here of what was his go-to-do? Which means, well, sasu agudos agudos, do not make separate factions. Abai answers that we only say what was his go-to-do in a situation of two courts in one city where one court falls Beis Shammai and one court falls Beis Hillel, but two courts in two cities is not a problem. And the opinions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were followed in two cities. Rava asked Abai, v'hab Beis Shammai Beis Hillel kishtei bati dinim bi'ir achas dami. But Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagreeing is like the case of two courts in one city, as members of both of them live in the same city. So Rava answered differently, that lo siskodidu only applies within one court, when some of the judges follow Beis Shammai and some follow Beis Hillel. Avo shtei bati dinim bi'ir achas leislam ba. But in a case where there are two bati dinim in one town, where one follows Beis Shammai and the other follows Beis Hillel, there is no problem of lo siskodidu. And point number three was stated in a braisa, afo bisha nechuku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel b'tzaros. Even though Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagreed about being matir tzaros in the case of Yibum and other halachos, well, nimnu Beis Shammai melisa nashi me Beis Hillel. Well, Beis Hillel me Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai did not refrain from marrying women from Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel did not refrain from marrying women from Beis Shammai. L'lamedcha shechiba v'reos no'ogim zeh l'zeh. To teach you that they treated each other with affection and friendship to fulfill which is stated, ha'emes v'shalom ehavo. Love, truth, and peace. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Yadalit, and our standard Simmon is a hand, and we often use a juggler in the Simmon to make it a little more distinct. So here goes. The juggler who started to juggle right after you heard a baskol announce whom the halacha follows, entertained judges from two separate batei dinim in one city, and was delighted to see that despite all their disagreements, they still treated each other with chiba and reyes. Once again, in slow motion. The juggler, that must mean we're on Daf Yadalit. The juggler who started to juggle right after he heard a baskol announce whom the halacha follows, which reminds us, the Gemara says that Reish Lakish and Rav hold that Beis Shammai did not follow their own opinion regarding being matya the tzaros of an erva to do yibum, and Rav Yochan and Shmuel hold they did. The Gemara asks Amos, when did this malchokas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel take place? Ilei makodim baskol, if you say it was before a baskol announced that the halacha always follows Beis Hillel, then what would be the explanation of those who hold that Beis Shammai do not follow their own opinion? And if it was after the baskol, then what would be the reasoning of those who hold that Beis Shammai did not follow Beis Hillel? The Gemara clarifies that the malchokas could have taken place either before or after the baskol, and each opinion would have a rationale for their position. So, the juggler who started to juggle right after he heard a baskol announce whom the halacha follows, entertained judges from two separate batei dinim in one city. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, according to those who say that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, why was there no issue here of what he's going to do? Which means, lo sasu agudus agudus, do not make separate factions. Rava answered that lo sisko to do only applies within one court when some of the judges follow Beis Shammai and some follow Beis Hillel. But in a case where there are two batei dinim in one town, where one falls Beis Shammai and the other falls Beis Hillel, there is no problem of lo sisko to do. So the juggler who started to juggle right after he heard a baskol announce whom the halacha follows, entertained judges from two separate batei dinim in one city, and was delighted to see that despite all their disagreements, they still treated each other with chiba and reyes. Which reminds us, it was stated in a brisa that even though Beis Shammai Beis Hillel disagreed about being matir tzaros in the case of yibum and other halachos, l'mnimnu Beis Shammai melisa nashim Beis Hillel, lo Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai did not refrain from marrying women from Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel did not refrain from marrying women from Beis Shammai. L'lamedcha shechiba v'reyos no'ogim zeh l'zeh, to teach you that they treated each other with affection and friendship to fulfill that which is stated, ha'emes v'shalom havo, love, truth, and peace. So once again, the juggler who started to juggle right after he heard a baskol announce whom the halacha follows, entertained judges from two separate batei dinim in one city, and was delighted to see that despite all their disagreements, they still treated each other with chiba and reyes. All right, now it's time to go to our four blah bach chazara. Daf Yud. So the simon Daf Yud is a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The minion of Yidden. That must be more in Daf Yud. The minion of Yidden who shunned Yaakov, who violated two sisters, who then bore him sons. Which reminds us, Rav Ada Karchina said in the name of Rava in front of Rav Kahana that Rebbe does hold the Rebbe Chiya's rule and provided a different explanation of Rebbe's response to Levi as to why the Mishnah does not include the case of Imo Anus's Aviv, his mother, who was violated by his father. Rebbe explained that it would not fit into one of Rebbe Chiya's rules in the following case, where Yaakov violates two sisters and each one bears him a son, and then these two sisters marry Yaakov's two other sons, who then die childless. It would not fulfill Rebbe Chiya's rule of Hazur Lazeh Muteres Lazeh. The sister that is prohibited to this Yavam is permitted to the other Yavam, and vice versa, since each Yavam is Asur as the mother of a different Yavam, and is the sister of his other Yavama. So, the minion of Yidden who shunned Yaakov, who violated two sisters, who then bore him sons, refusing to listen to his excuse that each son can call each woman Imo, his mother, which reminds us, Rav Ashi says, the Rebbe does not hold of Rebbe Chiya's rule, and that his harsh response to Levi was that Levi should have inferred that the ton of our missions, Rebbe Yehuda, who holds that Anus's Aviv is Aser, and therefore, there can never be a case of Anus's Aviv falling to Yibum from either brother. For the Mishnah later says, Sheish Arayis Chamurus Me'elot. Six Arayis are more common than the 15, Mifneshin and Suiz La'acherim, because they must be married to others and can never marry a man's paternal brother. The Gemara proves that since two of these Arayos are Imo, Ve'eshes Aviv, his mother and his father's wife, it must be that Imo, his mother, is referring to a woman that was violated by his father, and the Mishnah stating clearly that she's forbidden to all of the paternal brothers, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So the minion of Yidden who shunned Yaakov, who violated two sisters, who then bore him sons, refusing to listen to his excuse that each son can call each woman Imo, his mother. We're not sure whether they should welcome a man who did a chalitza, and then was mekadosh his chalitza, since it's only a love. Which reminds us, Gemara discussed the lach in the case of a cholitz lebimto v'chaz v'kidsha, one brother who does chalitza, and then returns and does kedushin with her, and then dies childless, so that she then falls back to the brothers whom she had previously fallen for yibum or chalitza. Reish Lakish holds that the first brother only had a love to take his chalitza, based on the pasuk asher lo yivneh, who shall not build his brother's house. Kaven shall banat shuv lo yivneh. The future tense implies that once he did not build, he shall never again build. But the other brothers remain with the original Issacharis. Rav Yochanan holds that the first brother and the chalitza each act as a shliach for his brothers and her tzaros respectively, and therefore they are only prohibited to each other on the level of a love. Daf Yudav. So the simur Daf Yudav is stars. So here goes. The tzara of a sota vadai who received a pater from Yibum star, that must be more in Daf Yudav. The tzara of a sota vadai, who received a pater from Yibum star, which reminds the Gemara brings Rav Yehuda, who said in the name of Rav, that a tzara of a sota is pater from doing Yibum or chalitza, which conflicts with the Brisa that states that if a woman goes into a seclusion with a man for the amount of time that takes for them to have relations, and Rashi explains this referring to when her husband had warned her not to do so, she's forbidden to her husband, and if the husband dies, then she does chalitza. The Gemara answers that Rav can reply that he was discussing a case of a sota vadai when it was certain that she had relations with the other man, and the Brisa was discussing a case when she had gone in seclusion with the man, but it's a suffix if they had relations. So that Sarah of the sota vadai, who received a pata from Yibum star, who was waiting to see if her friend, the Tsar of a Machzor Gushaso, would receive one too, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchus between Rav Yossi ben Kefar and the Chachamim regarding when is a Machzor Gushaso chayv? Is it only after Nisuan or after Erison as well? Which then leads to the question of what is the status of a tsaris Machzor Gushaso. So the tsar of the sota vadai, who received a pater from Yibum star, who was waiting to see if her friend, the tsar of a Machzor Gushaso, would receive one too, overheard a basin standing by a pit of water tell a woman who was already ushered to a Kohen that she should be the one to do chalitza, which reminds us that the brother wants to do chalitza, which would pasul the chalitza from marrying a Kohen. And he has a choice of two yavamas, and one of the women is permitted to marry Kohen, and the other one was forbidden to marry Kohen. He should do chalitza with the yavama who is already pasul to the kahuna. Rabbi Yosef, quoting Rebbe, explained the reason for this. One should not spill out the water of his pit if others need it, meaning that since he wants to do chalitza, which would asr a chalitza to a Kohen, he should do it to the yavama who is already asr to a Kohen, and let the other woman remain available to a Kohen. Daf Yud Beis. So the Simra Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. When the 10 remaining brothers, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Beis, 12 brothers. When the 10 remaining brothers became usher to the tzara of the Mema'enis, who did miun after their brother's death, which reminds us, Rabbi Lulim Bar Mamo said in the name of Ukba, who said in the name of Shmuel, that a tzara's Mema'enis is forbidden to the Yavam. The Gemara explains that the reason that she's forbidden to him is the Gezer Mishuma tzara's Bita Mema'enis, a decree that was made because of the tzara of a daughter who falls to Yibum and does miun. Rashi explains that the case is when one's daughter, who is a katana, falls to him for Yibum, along with an adult tzara, and the daughter does miun to her father. Since at the time they fell for Yibum, the tsar appears like the tsar of his daughter, who is an erva to her father, she's usher mid the rabban, even though the daughter's miun does uproot the marriage. The concern is that if we permit a yavam to take a tsar's mema enis in general, one might come to permit one to take a tsar's mema enis when the one doing miun is his daughter. So when the 10 remaining brothers became usher to the tsar of the mema enis, who did miun after the brother's death, and to the tsar's ilanis of another brother, who always knew that his wife couldn't bear children, which reminds Rav Asi says that a tzar of an ilanis is asur because the pasuk states vaya b'chor asher teled, and the firstborn that she gives birth to, which excludes an ilanis being that she cannot give birth. Since an ilanis cannot do yibum, she's an erva, and the tzar is a tzar's erva. The Gemara asks that the Mishnah on Dabei says that a tzar's ilanis is mutter to the yavam. The Gemara answers lo kasha kancha hikerba kanshul hikerba. Rav Asi was discussing a case where the husband recognized his wife was an ilanis when they got married, therefore the marriage was legitimate, and the tzara is a tzara's ilanis, who is pater from Yibum. Our Mishnah, on the other hand, is discussing a case where he did not realize that she was an ilanis, and therefore the marriage is nullified, and the tzara is mutter to the yavam. The words of the Mishnah imply this as well, as it says, shinim su'u, they were found to be an ilanis, and it does not say, shahayu, they were. So, when the 10 remaining brothers became usher to the tzara of the Mema'enis, who did miun after the brother's death, and to the tzara's ilanis of another brother, who always knew that his wife couldn't bear children, they tried to comfort their mother, who was famous for having given birth to her first son, when she was still a minor. Which reminds us, Rabbi taught a brisa in front of Rav Nachman, Shalosh Nashim Mishamshos B'moch. There are three women who may use cotton to prevent conceiving. Ketana Me'uberes U'Meinika, a minor, a pregnant woman, and a nursing woman. Ketana Shema Tisabra V'Shema Tammuz. A minor may do this, as otherwise she may become pregnant and she may die because of the pregnancy. Which implies that some minors may become pregnant and not die. So there is a case of Chamoso Mema'enes, a mother-in-law who does Miun. Rashi explains that this is a case where a ketana gives birth to a daughter and her husband gives the infant daughter away in marriage. The husband will have a mother-in-law who may do Miun. But the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Beis said that this case does not exist. Rav Safra answered, Banim Hari Hem Kisim Banim. Children are like simanim, meaning signs of puberty, and therefore, once she gives birth, she cannot do miyun anymore. Daf Yud Gimel, the simmer Daf Yud Gimel, is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. After the bar mitzvah boy's brilliant pshetel on when an erva must die for a tzar to be mutter to do yibum, which reminds us, Rabbi Yirmi resolved the steer mishnayos regarding when an erva must die or get divorced for her tzar to be mutter for yibum, by explaining Misha Shanazo, Lo Shanazo, the one who taught this Mishnah did not teach this Mishnah. Hai Tana Savra Misa Mapelas, the Tana Bar Mishnah holds that the husband's death causes his wives to fall to yibum, as long as a woman is not the tzar of an erva at the moment of a husband's death, she is chai for yibum. Hai Tana Savra Nisum Harishonim Mapelim, but the Tana, the other Mishnah holds that the original marriage causes his wives to fall to Yibum. Therefore, if a woman was ever a tsar of an erva, she's putter from Yibum. Rava reconciles the Mishnahs differently. So, after the Bar Mitzvah boy's brilliant pshetel on when an erva must die for a tsara to be mutter to do Yibum, he shocked the crowd with Beishama Shita that a tsara of an erva is always mutter to do Yibum, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states, Beishama Matirin Hatzars La'achim U'Beisilo Osrim. Beishamai hold that the tzars of Arias may do Yibum, and Beisilo say they are asked to do Yibum. Rav Shimon ben Pasi explains that the reason Beishamai is because the Pasik states, Otiye Esh Zamesa Chutzal Ish Zar, the wife of the one who died, who is outside, should not go to a stranger. Chutza Makal de Ekapnimi. Since the Pasik describes the wife as the outer one, meaning she's not related to the Yavam, it implies there is an inner one who is related to the Yavam, that being the Erva. But Amrachmana Lotia, the Pasik's teaching that the outer one, who is the Tzara of the Erva, may not marry anyone else since she's subject to Yibum. The Gemara continues to explain what Beisilo do with the Pasik. So after the Bar Mitzvah boy's brilliant pshetel on when an Erva must die for a Tzara to be mutter to do Yibum, he shocked the crowd with Beishamai Shita that a Tzara of an Erva is always mutter to do Yibum, and solemnly concluded the Pasik of Losis Godidu and the hope that Kol Yisrael should not make separate factions. Which reminds, the Gemara brings a whole back and forth between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan on the topic of Lo Sis Godidu, which means Lo Sasu Agudas Agudas, you shall not make separate factions, as it applies in the Megillah being read on different days, Malacha being performed on Erev Pesach, and to our Mishnah with the Machlokas Beisham Meisil regarding whether a Tzara of an Erva is Mutter to do Yibum. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.